I got sticky hands. Force. I can spin the shit.
George, we're going on the teacup thing, George. Why do you have sticky hands, George?
Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heads or tails.
Now it makes sense.
Before, it made no fucking sense, but now.
All right, everybody. Well, welcome to episode 14 of the Who Goes There podcast. We hope you enjoyed the last episode. Your faithful hosts, Jorge.
And Matt.
Mikey.
Special guests.
Alia. And Aubrey.
Back for the second time. Chew. Yeah. Look at that.
You were saying cheers. I was going to say, how can we cheers with no goddamn beer, George?
Cheers with beers.
Cheers with
beers.
Here
you go, sir. Oh, okay. That's fine. Okay.
It's
a
reach, so it's not like we really started.
No, we started.
We're in. We're balls deep already, so.
Oh, wow, you were not kidding about being a baby with the beer.
I'm telling you, man.
I like how just, Matt's getting a picture of this for Instagram.
No, I'm actually getting a video of this for Instagram. George drinking the little girly beer.
The little girly beer. But look how nice that looks. Come on, doesn't that look cute?
Cheers.
Cheers to the 14.
That ended at the perfect fucking time, too. Boom.
So, all right, well, we all watched the movie Escape from Tomorrow.
We did.
Did we?
We all watched it, yes.
Hopefully. I would hope we all did.
We all watched it. We talked about this a couple episodes, maybe even three or four back. It's the gorilla filmed movie in Disneyland, and
filmed by actual gorillas.
Well, that's how they got away with it.
Those gorilla birds. From
they
Mirror
were disguised
Mask.
As gorillas.
That's how they got the high camera shots.
Totes. Do you have the important info on this fucking movie?
I do somewhere. I was doing that.
Well, before we get to that, anybody
before
got...
you decided to just kickstart the episode,
yeah. Dude. I'm on top of it today. I'm on top of it today.
He's just trying to leave us in the dust.
He is. He just wants us out of his goddamn house.
Damn it.
Well, like Mikey said, before we jump into it, you know The Last of Us is actually getting made into a movie.
Is it?
Yeah. Sony just registered the domain thelastofusmovie.com. And
they're going to totally fuck it up by not having the voice actor to be the actor, I bet.
Well, he looks nothing like Joel, though.
But Troy Baker's so sexy.
He is. Why change it?
It's not steampunky enough.
Anytime I play a video game, I'm convinced that almost every character is...
He looks very steampunky in person, so he fit really well with the guy he played in BioShock Infinite. He wears vests in the fucking... shit, so...
He's sharp, okay?
Yeah.
He's a sharp...
He dresses up, so he's steampunk.
One of them fancy fucks.
Because he looks like he could be steampunk, and BioShock Infinite was very steampunk.
Is he a dandy?
Let's not bring your fantasies into the show.
Or your shortcomings.
Well, regardless, they're making that into a movie, and they're also...
Isn't it already a movie? Basically, the game is so bad.
Exactly. Well, it is.
Pretty much.
So that people can watch
you know
it
why?
Without having to play it.
It's so we can hear Joel sing.
So people
That's
that
why.
Aren't good at games can watch it.
Well, in fact, there's a YouTube video of somebody that played the game all the way through.
Like a movie?
Like a movie, so you can just watch it. It's pretty neat.
Yeah.
They've done that with Uncharted and stuff,
not
too.
Gonna bother
me. But they're also making scary stories to tell in the dark.
A movie?
Come on.
Dude, please be multiple episodes.
I want it to be animated.
It's got to be animated.
It's got to be animated, right?
I'm assuming it's going to be live action.
Why?
But the problem that I foresee is that part of what made Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark so terrifying was the artwork.
Yeah.
The wispy, drippy,
that's
melty.
That's like 98% of the reason why we...
It's all of our nightmares.
They could do it. I mean, The Ring kind of had a little bit of that effect sometimes.
No.
I don't mean altogether. I mean sometimes they had it.
Yeah, the video, like, with the static and, like, the weird...
When you make a movie... based on something that has such a strong visual style already, you know, injected into it, you're leading to unless you stick to that visual style, it's going to be disappointing. That's why you can make a film from a book, and it's going to be, you know, you can make it look however you want, and it could potentially be, you know, just as good as the book. Not really ever. But, but when you're talking about like something that is defined by its visual style, if you change that too much, you're just gonna alienate anybody who's a fan of the original.
I agree in a certain way, but did you guys was, did you watch Where like the Wild Polo? Things Are?
Like, what no. about like rotoscoping? How about that?
Well, I mean, the visual style was pretty similar to what the book was trying to do.
They did do a good job matching.
You know, I think if it's different, but it's also impactful in the same way, like in a visual way, even if it's not the similar, if it doesn't look like the books, I think if they make it visually impacting, it will be as cool.
It's going to have to feel organic, though, because if it looks like it's CG, it's just going to take away from everything. Like, there were scenes in Escape from Tomorrow that were done in front of a green screen.
Oh, we'll get there.
That's what I'm saying.
I think we may all have a universal opinion on this. Just I have the feeling.
Finally.
Yeah. Finally, yeah.
Well, should we just jump right into
it? Yeah, let's get to it.
So, Escape from Tomorrow was a movie that was filmed at Disneyland. They did it with a... I can't remember the technical names of the cameras, but they did it with basically tourist-type cameras.
Yeah, that's basically what they were.
They had their scripts on their iPhones, and it was shot over an extended period of time. They had to get year passes to Disneyland and Disney World.
Which was probably the most expensive part of the entire film.
Yeah, it was like $1,000 a person. But, stupid like that.
Yeah, everything was shot guerrilla style without Disney's permission. And
they all had their scripts on their iPhones, if I'm not mistaken. Like, they were all, like, that's how they were reading.
They did, and that's how they looked just like normal people. It's written and directed by Randy Moore, starring a bunch of people you've never fucking heard of. And ultimately, it's this family goes on a vacation to Disneyland, and weird shit starts to happen, and then a whole lot of nothing starts to happen, and then I'm fucking confused at the end.
Yeah,
so
that's basically
that's the movie.
Anyone who saw the preview for this film probably had the same impression I did. It's like, it's art house, it's crazy,
there's supernatural things
happening at Disneyland, like there's some kind of conspiracy. Nothing really seems to come to
mind.
Darling, too. The critics have fucking came all over this.
Okay, before we get to that, let's do a quick roundtable and so just a quick opinion on everybody, how they felt about
even
this
before
movie.
That, do we think this is a horror flick?
It's horror noir, basically.
Is there horror?
It's genre-lized or whatever
it's
horror.
It's very
it's this personal
lightly
man's
on
like
horror. It's a very lightly horror movie.
It's a very thin blanket.
Yeah. It just has a thin veneer of horror. They're like, yeah, it's good enough. Horror.
Rubble.
Aubrey, what'd you think? Just quick opinion.
Quick. Sad.
You were so sad.
Sad. Like, okay. Disney and horror, if you put them together, basically my dreams come true. Like, that would be my ideal movie. I love all things Disney and I love all things horror. This was not enough of either of those to make me happy.
Mikey?
I can probably sum it up in a little bit less than that.
What'd you think, Alia?
I don't know, like, I don't think, maybe it's just because I, like, have more, like, way more patience than, like, everybody in this room combined.
Bullshit. Probably.
That's not true.
I don't know, I sat through it, I was a little confused, but maybe it's because I was watching it with Matt and I had him to bounce off of and, like, and sort of, like, criticize the movie as
trying.
Yeah.
Totally. Fatty. Fatty McFat Fat.
Fatty.
What'd you think?
I don't even know what the fuck I thought. Because I don't know what the fuck happened. A whole lot of nothing happened, and it really seemed like the shittiest parts of family vacation.
Yeah, the whole time watching the movie, it was like, I'm a little confused as to why they're acting like this. Oh my god, she's so passive aggressive.
It was a movie
this
that
is
seemed,
not human normal behavior, you know? It's like not the way people react in that situation.
It seemed like the film couldn't commit to a genre or a style at all.
Or
at any point. Yeah. It was just, you know, honestly,
the only idea they definitely committed to is that young women are hot and attractive to
okay, men. Yeah, let's delve into that shit because let's rewind a little bit. Holy shit, man.
I'm just saying, that's what I learned.
So,
should we start at the beginning?
This whole movie was a tram wreck.
Yeah.
Tram wreck.
A monorail wreck.
So not that bad compared to a train wreck, right?
Yeah, at a low speed, yes.
And monorail is much quieter, so it just was like,
And for all you photography nerds out there, Aubrey,
yep.
They were shot on two Canon EOS 5D Mark II cameras.
Oh, okay. Like, those are not tourist cameras.
And one Canon EOS 1D Mark IV digital single lens reflex camera shot in monochrome mode.
Which is definitely worth stating because the most powerful thing about this movie is its visual style.
The monochrome.
It was so pretty.
It's all style, yeah. No substance.
So
right.
It was so pretty.
So it basically begins as a family, which is pretty much a normal dysfunctional family. Family of four. It's a man, his wife, and their two children, boy and girl. Going to Disney World on their little family vacation. Apparently they've been there for at least a
couple,
day already.
Couple few days already.
Because they're staying in a hotel, and the guy's saying... We come in the beginning with the guy, the husband, talking on his phone to his boss, and
or not even his boss. Not even his like boss. Who is like it?
It's his coworker who's trying to get him in.
It's supposed to be his boss, isn't it?
No, because I don't think
later
so.
Later in the movie, they say, "Didn't your boss relay the message?"
It was boss.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
He has a conversation.
Okay.
He's probably like assistant manager.
And it's
assistant
like,
to the regional manager.
We instantaneously realize that there's something amiss with this family because. The husband goes in after talking on the phone with his...
He doesn't go in nothing. He's out on the porch and his fucking kid stares at him with those dead eyes.
And then he locks him outside on the fucking
dad.
And then he gets in the bed.
Yeah, that really weirded me out. Okay, so the kid locks the dad out on the balcony, and then he goes and ominously stands over his sister. And I thought he was going to stab his sister with a pair of fucking scissors
because
or something.
Because the expectation this was a horror film.
Exactly. Yeah. And then he goes and crawls into bed with his mom and totally gets up on his dad's shit. And he's like, he almost looks over at his dad like, yeah, motherfucker.
Yeah. Cuddling with your woman.
Yeah.
Well, and then the part that was that initially pissed me off is I go, if that were me, we would have broken the window, and we would have been on our way home.
Well, and I would have thrown that kid off the goddamn balcony.
Yeah, I mean, come on. The kid acted so ambivalent to the dad. He was like, "Nah, I don't fucking fuck you, dad." Well, he didn't cuss. But
if you were that shitty,
he said it with his eyes.
He may have
if you were that shitty of a person, you'd be used to that kind of fucking attitude towards you.
It's true. Yeah, I guess you sort of produce that in your own family, and you know,
the dad and the mom. So what kind
of that
were
they?
Well, the mom was a salty bitch,
except for the little girl who was precious. And
oh, the little princess.
She was adorable.
Yeah, she was cute.
So we come to realize that the family dynamic is kind of askew.
Fucked.
The kid, the boy, locking the dad out. The dad comes in and the wife is questioning him about who he talked to on the phone, and he acts completely stupid, which is...
Okay, wait a second. Speaking of which, so the way the dad gets off the balcony, he has to call his wife's cell phone and wake her up. Yeah. And then she says... Who were you talking to out on the balcony? I saw your lips moving. How the fuck did she see his lips moving when she was asleep?
You know, there's so many more
details. That was the one that he saw,
like,
right?
I was doing that the whole movie. I'm like, this makes no sense. What is going on here? And
she's a mom. She has eyes in the back of her head. Don't
I
know?
Guess.
Yeah.
Apparently, she sleeps with
the
her eyes open.
Eyes. Yeah.
Right.
I do grow.
Well, so they
she's questioning him about what he's, you know.
And all of this literally means nothing to the rest of the movie. This whole movie means anything.
No, it sets the family dynamic. It tells you immediately that they're kind of, you know, a little bit fucked up. But the problem is that they continue hammering that in for the next fucking 50 minutes.
Yeah,
where nothing happens. Yeah.
And the wife is just a passive-aggressive bitch the entire movie.
Yeah, but you can kind of tell the way she's acting towards him when she, even though she didn't see his lips moving, he has cheated on her before because he's made comments about it. Where they're a little young even for you. That's why she questions who's on the phone with him.
They
so,
set it up as to where you can draw those conclusions, but they never actually tell you that.
Well,
that's
pretty obvious. Yeah, they should have to spoon.
Wait, was he a cheater, or were we supposed to believe he was a pedophile? Because like,
young even for you.
Oh, we'll get to that.
We'll get to that shit. So they end up. They get to. And also, it's both Disneyland and Disney World.
Right, yeah.
So it flips back and forth while you're watching the movie. Like, it's Disneyland.
They say they're in Florida, yeah.
The film is supposed to be set at Disney World, but they do record at both
locations.
Yeah,
it's glaringly obvious to anybody who's been to either.
Yeah.
Well, see, I've never been to Disney World, but I know what's at Disneyland.
Set in Florida. I kind of thought it was like a sort of like fantasy land where... They can do that, where Disneyland is one big thing. And I kind of like that. I was like, it when a movie is like, disregard everything you know.
You gave this movie way too much credit.
But that's...
I know.
If they bothered to to establish that it was that supernatural of an occurrence instead of saying we're in Florida.
I would
make that allowance, but they don't bother to set that up.
Because she's like, oh, it's so humid, and I'm like, oh, okay, Florida.
Florida. Yeah. Funny thing is, I told Alia that they recorded in Florida and LA, and as soon as she saw the two French girls, the first thing she says is, oh, they're fucking Floridians. They're from Florida. Those two they're from Florida.
Those two
they're
bitches
in Florida,
are from Florida.
Definitely.
They're not actually French. They're Floridians.
French Canadians that moved to Florida.
Yeah.
I thought Parisian was Persian. I was like, how the fuck can you be associating French with Persian? Later.
He was like,
she just said Parisian. And I'm like, yeah, as in from Paris.
Yeah. I was implying they're from Persia, but they speak French.
All of the, I there's so much little minute details that they sort of try to get you to pay attention to, but really, first, like, big thing that they introduce us to is the two French girls.
Yeah.
Which are, I feel like they're trying to be like, oh, this is symbolic of innocence and temptation. That's, like, that was their...
Temptation,
very
maybe.
Innocent.
Well, you know what?
They're cuddling a little much with each other.
Through the entire movie, I thought those two girls were going to start making out with each other. And no, that was not just a desire.
So
I really thought they were going.
They basically were without
the way they were so close to each other. And like, I mean, if I was watching those girls, like, if I was at Disneyland and I was not in this movie and I'm watching them, I'd be like, are they lesbians? Or maybe not.
You know, I think
best friends
it was trying to be
ambiguous. It's like fat and pregnant, you know?
Fat or pregnant. I think they were trying to be ambiguous. I think that it was like, they were supposed to belie a certain amount of innocence. They weren't, like, they were holding hands a lot.
Well, yeah,
that's
why she had braces.
Right.
Yeah.
So we went into these two girls on the tram. That's where you first see them, right? It was on the tram.
Yeah, because they're pole dancing.
So they're spinning around on the pole. See, and once again, I think it's totally ambiguous. Like, they could be sisters
Is anybody really that close with their sister?
I'm not.
Fucking Europeans, man. They're all depraved.
That's what it is. All those...
They're Persians, all right.
Persians. So, but you know, the little boy, the son.
Speaking Farsi the whole time.
We were trying to convince each other that they were French-Canadian the entire time.
That's hilarious.
So the little boy, like, he catches the girls spinning around, and the boy and the dad both have the same reaction.
They're both all like,
how the dad's, like, he stares at the girls, but he does it in a way that's like...
If anybody's ever seen the old Tom and Jerry cartoon, it was seriously like a wolf whose jaw drops to the floor and his tongue rolls out.
He's slack-jawed, staring at these two
and
girls.
And his wife looks at him like, boys will be boys.
No, yeah, so they go, oh, you.
I asked her, I said, if you saw me drooling over some 15-year-old girls, would you be that okay with it?
And she... Right. And really, like, it looked like they were like 14 and 16, these two
girls.
They were young.
Yeah.
They were very young.
You know,
and
it was confusing to me, too, initially, is I thought... The focus was on the girl with the dark hair.
Braces or no braces?
Braces.
No braces.
Okay,
no
braces.
Because
she was the cuter of the two. The other one was
what the fuck?
Hey,
Matt,
please stop talking about the cuteness of teenage girls.
Hey, I did not say they were sexy, okay? My little sister's cute. She's adorable. I'm saying the one was the cuter of the two.
I guess more so the more sexualized one, which the one
she did seem
without the braces. And I thought that she was sort of the focus of it.
Yeah.
Which
right.
we've come to find out at the end. That
which
she
kind
isn't
of leads the... to more evidence of him being a pedophile. He kind
right.
of prefers the one that...
When you find out he's lusting after the younger looking one with the braces,
even creepier,
that's
yeah.
exactly...
Yeah, that definitely hasn't hit puberty yet.
So, we get the dad being a total fucking creep, and these girls being ambiguously either sexual with each other or just being fun and playful and sisterly with each other.
Not only ambiguously sexual, but completely oblivious to the entire world around them.
Yeah, yeah. They're basically in a fairy tale wonderland, which is what, you know, it's the Disney,
it's
we'll call
Disney.
It Disney effect. It's the Disney effect.
No, wait,
the
no princesses. It's not the Disney effect, it's the beep effect.
Which, yeah, the when they say Disney in the film, it's it says Dickney because they bleep it out.
Interesting fact, though, there's an online basically index of all the Disney movies and related movies, and I believe it's approved by Disney, and Disney has recently put in an entry for.
I think what Disney is doing.
They do say they're choosing to ignore it.
They're trying to avoid the Streisand effect. I don't know if you guys know what this is, but...
I like the sound of that.
Well, so years ago, they had posted some pictures of Streisand's, like, Bayside house, and she did everything she could to try to get him to take down the pictures, and Bayside all it did Tigers? And all it did was call more attention.
Oh, the Beyonce effect.
Is that the Beyonce effect?
Or you know that Beyonce
it's called, well, like, it's official. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So I think... No wonder she's super sad.
I have that
yeah, super sad.
Totally. I think what Disney's trying to do is just sort of like, we're not, you know, making a big deal about it, so it'll go away.
Right, yeah.
I think that's what's going to happen.
You're just going to give it, if you try and refute it, you're going to give more publicity to it.
Well, they know
and
a lot of people aren't going to go out and watch it. It's not like a box office
type of movie. In the internet age, like, all these things are accessible. You cannot get rid of it. It's out there. It's already out there. If you say that you're against it, you're just going to give more publicity to it and play it. It's going to be more popular.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. So as I was saying earlier, with this being a critical darling, this appeared at, you know, one of the festivals, Sundance, Slam Dance, something. No, there is a Slam Dance festival. There is a Slam Dance festival.
Does Hate Replay there?
No.
Bees and
It appeared, and they wouldn't even announce the name of it. They just kept calling it Super Secret Underground Movie or something to that effect.
To hype it up.
Exactly. And so once the movie aired, nobody wanted to talk about it because they were worried that Disney's lawyers would catch wind of it and essentially be on a fucking jet to shut it down.
Right. Just send a cruise missile.
So they just kept saying things to the effect of, if you're in the area, be at this theater at this time. And all the critics raved about it, talking about how it's brilliant. I can't believe I just saw what I just saw. There's
it's
no way somebody just shot
this. It's very impressive that
they
got away with making it sort of cohesive at a theme park, at the biggest
it
theme
almost
park
does
like
feel,
in the world.
It almost does impressive. Feel like they were...
It would be if it was a good movie.
It would be
exactly.
Impressive.
if
there were two... A, everybody at fucking Disneyland has a camera. B... They use fucking green screen for a bunch of the shows.
Oh, can we let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Yeah.
So
see, the movie was a steamer.
About halfway through the film, there's a shift to you listeners, where it's obvious that they sort of ran out of like Disney footage and they had to resort to green screen, and it is so glaring that you're watching it and you're just like, what the fuck? Why include this?
It almost works.
I don't know that it was necessarily that they ran out of Disney footage. I think that some of it was in an attempt to not be conspicuous while they were filming, because if you have the two French girls dancing in the background while the dad is kneeling down and trying to talk to his son and convincing him to go on Space Mountain, if you try and set that up and film it, it's going to look really weird and it's going to draw attention
to security.
With proper
editing, you don't need to shoot them in the same frame and they would seem completely separate from each other and it wouldn't be weird.
Look, hands down, the worst green screen I think I've ever seen in my life.
Birdemic.
The worst.
Birdemic.
Birdemic wasn't even trying, okay?
Bobby?
I didn't actually mind it because it reminded me of, like, when Disney would have the TV show and you could see Walt Disney in front of the green screen with Tinkerbell in the background.
Yeah, like high-fiving
and
with
so,
Mickey Mouse
yeah.
and shit.
So, to me, it kind
so
of made a parallel to when they filmed with Walt Disney.
It made it feel more Disney
for her. It made it feel okay.
But was it intentional? Do you
if
feel
it was,
intentional?
If it was
are
intentional,
you suggesting?
If
are you suggesting to this podcast at this very moment that fucked up green screen was supposed to be some ham-handed attempt at cell animation?
No, but that's the effect it had. No, but that's the effect it had. Yeah, where
it
didn't bother her.
The fuck out.
I compare it to Team America, where you see them doing the really shitty puppets at the very beginning, and then you realize that's a puppet show within the movie. The whole movie was so beautiful and so stylistic and just looked so great.
That the green screen was
And then it's almost like cardboard cutouts on fucking popsicle sticks.
That's my theory. They were trying to bridge gaps and fill holes in post-production.
That's
he was
exactly
trying to fill
I...
those French girls' holes. That's what this whole movie was about.
No, just the little one.
Just the little one.
Just brace face.
Okay, wait.
What was up with the
dad's blackout episodes?
Right?
But yeah, like the wife
knew about
it.
And she's totally ambivalent about them. She's like, oh, you had another blackout? Like,
did he in fact have blackouts? Or was she just meaning like that's a...
No, he blacked out and woke up in the bed with that lady.
Yeah.
With his wife at the end.
I was kind of assuming she was just implying that that was his moment of stupidity.
That was the power.
So do we think that...
She took him for his life.
So do we think that he blacked out during the Small World ride? Or is...
I don't... I feel like this movie spent a lot of time just kind of like
actually
patching over little things to make them make sense.
I feel like the blackouts are like the biggest part that can actually sort of explain something.
I feel like this movie tried to convey what it would be like to go to Disneyland on mushrooms, and that's not what it's like.
No, it's definitely not.
It's much more fun than that movie is.
No.
So
go to Disneyland on Labor Day, everybody.
This gets us right back to where we were in the progress of the film, where they go on the Small World ride, and at this point,
which is not Small World, right? It's la 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 la.
But yeah, of course they can't use the music because they'd have to license it, and Disney's not going to allow that shit.
I don't understand how they were able to put Mickey Mouse and Goofy and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and
it doesn't make any sense. But
I mean, it just goes south of the border like 10 minutes.
I was just saying because it took place in a public place. Like they just were filming what was already going on.
It's true.
You're allowed to film and take pictures in Disneyland. You have permission. They can't bust them for that. Yeah, so they're on the Small World. They're on the la 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 ride, right?
Yeah.
And then the dad starts to have an episode. Like the dad is kind of freaking out. He's starting to hallucinate and. Which was very visually powerful, and at this point, I was still kind of sold that this was going to be a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
At this point,
yeah. Well, troubling to me was you first see like the ride characters start getting like sinister little faces. They get fangs, and their eyes get evil, whatever.
The one that went
which
like,
I thought it was subtle,
worst.
But cool.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was creepy.
That was cool, and then the mom like it says to the dad like I hate you in this really fucked up voice.
The part where the little kid
gets the black eyes, like his eyes turn black, I was like, that's stupid. I'm out. Done.
Yeah.
But I was having an episode and hallucinating, but which they kind of pieced together, I guess.
Because nobody else noticed it was weird. Nobody else noticed. Nobody remembered having the conversation of he's not your child. The children, if that was actually happening, would have reacted.
So they bother to talk about the fact that he has blackouts, and then they later on talk about him coming back like the scientist. I'll say the scientist.
But don't you feel like he should have at least been on some kind of medication? If he's prone to blackouts, I mean,
well,
even if he's a narcoleptic, there would be something.
A, who's to say he isn't, and B, we're just nitpicking at that point.
Okay, well,
I don't know, because I feel like if that's going to be an important enough part of the story to mention it and have the blackouts be prevalent.
No, what Maggie was saying is the blackouts, mentioning the blackouts is a way to cover holes.
I feel like this movie just introduced a lot of...
We see the therapy that he's gone through. Like it's kind of irrelevant to the film. Like they talk about it enough to make it so that it makes sense within the context.
But the thing is, later on in the movie, the mom has the same shit start happening to her.
Right, which they don't ever.
They don't talk about.
She sees something once.
Yeah, and then she's like,
"Does she even see anything?"
Oh,
yeah.
She sees
the girls.
Okay,
the girls with the fucking fucked up face.
So it's not just him.
Anybody who's interested in this movie has seen the previews, and it sets it up to look like this supernatural thing, like shit's gonna go bad. And the dad hallucinates, there's these weird little things, but it never comes out to much.
All the problems are very real life problems. Like the dad wants a 15-year-old girl or 14-year-old
girl. Those real life problems.
And the dad ends up having sex with
girl.
Some other lady at the park.
So,
dude,
so
like, those are
for some reason, the family ends up splitting up, right? The mom goes with the daughter, and the dad goes off.
No, it's not for some reason. It's that the mom can't suffer her insufferable little cunt daughter and is like, well, take her then.
Yeah.
You know,
take the bitch.
Yeah.
It's him and the son, and then the mom and the daughter go to the swimming pool. Like, hey, let's go.
It's basically when the mom gets tired of the daughter, dad takes
over. No, the son wanted to go on Buzz Lightyear. The daughter didn't.
That was it.
Yeah.
And the daughter wanted to go on the teacups. The mom said, well, do you want to take her? And the dad said, oh, no, I'll take him.
Which, what a dumbass, the teacups are the best part of fucking Disneyland,
yeah.
right?
Oh, yeah.
Jackass.
No.
You need a strong man
no.
to make him funner, too.
Yeah.
Right. That's why I'm saying
know,
this.
See,
you're...
the mom didn't even make that shit spin. Like,
get on teacups with me, I will murder you on the teacups.
Yeah, for real. I got sticky hands,
force.
I can spin the shit.
George, we're going on the teacups today, George.
Why do you have sticky hands, George?
Dude, it's an issue. I've got sweaty hands.
It's hereditary.
It's because he's Mexican. It's
so
not
I have hereditary sticky hands.
We have
it's racist.
Are you saying Mexicans are thieves?
It's racist. That's what I just said.
I resemble that remark.
So do I. You're the only
well,
one that doesn't.
We've been talking about movies and
so
music.
Is Matt.
I'm the only non-Mexican.
Yeah, and you steal.
Oh.
So
the thing about the French girls,
I may
is
as
they
well
just
poured myself an actual beer because I swear to God I've had like six of these things already.
Yeah.
But okay,
let's
continue.
Get back to the flow.
Okay, so the thing about the French girls is they just keep appearing everywhere.
No, they do not.
He's
no, they do not.
As I was gonna say,
when the mom goes on the teacups, they're on the teacups with the mom.
Yeah.
And when they get on the tram at the beginning, the girls are on the tram. The girls just, even before the dad starts stalking them, the girls always tend to at least be in the vicinity of wherever the family is.
Okay, so you're at a theme park, you're going, and you're going to, on the rides along the way.
Yeah,
I believe that. It's not that
way.
It's not that
way. Because you walked in at the same time. Yeah. So, but you generally see the same people.
Yeah, that makes sense.
They stood out to you at some point in the That has happened park. To us before. You kind of are just like, God damn, this fucking asshole again. I don't want to see your face.
And that comes up with...
Oh my God, it's the lady with the 2 8-year-olds in the stroller. Again.
That comes up with Don Vito on the Fat People motorcycle.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay, so we get...
Family splits.
The father and son go because the son wants to go on Buzz Lightyear. The mom and the daughter go and have a gay old time and go around on the carousel and giggle and fly around. And she tells her she's a princess. And then the dad and the son sit in fucking line for Buzz Lightyear for a goddamn hour. And the dad is just super fucking irritated the whole time.
And then the ride closes down.
Right before they get on it.
And
which they touch on later.
That apparently has some kind of significance, which went way the fuck over my head.
Yeah, dude, for real.
We had to shut down the Buzz Lightyear ride.
Right.
Yes. Is that a bad thing?
When you get to the fucking Matrix scene, it was like, we had to shut down the Buzz
Lightyear. We even had to shut down Buzz Lightyear!
It's like,
oh my God.
Why?
Ending, you had to shut down Buzz
Lightyear. Why not just let him go on?
They should have made it space time, but clearly the boy is a little wussy because he can't even go on the teacup.
Oh my God.
He's scared to go on the teacup.
So that's the girl who throws up after Space Mountain.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So then the mother and the daughter are having a great time, and the father and son have been just kind of sitting there in fucking line and having the ride canceled.
At which point
the father's like, oh, hello cute little underage French girls who are wandering around, and proceeds to follow them and go on every ride they go on just to creep on them like a fucking pervert.
Follow them seems like a very mild description.
Stop them.
Because even the son notices, he's like, Daddy, why are we following those girls? And he's just like, what girls? Bitch, you know.
The son is like 7 years old.
He's
on tell that his dad is a complete pervert.
And I love the fact that the son's totally catching on to his father's tendencies. Like, they're on the little, what is it, the car ride?
The car, that was the best part.
And the son's running into the back of their car after the ride's over.
They like getting pounded from behind.
Keep telling yourself that, kid. Keep telling yourself they like it.
No, so did you catch his little fantasy on the cars?
That was
fucking hilarious.
Is that part of his blackouts, or is it because
I think that's what they tried to imply.
He has parts later.
That he has a way too big imagination.
So he has a rape blackout.
Yeah,
not really rape, but like he's rapey blackout. Like he's perpetually stalking these girls and fantasizing that they desire him.
He has a fantasy where each girl separately are in the car with him, the little Autotopia car.
Yeah. I still have a license from Autotopia.
Nice.
They took mine away because I drive with no hands.
you're not a good driver.
I just hit the gas and the thing auto-corrects you, so I'm just with my hands behind my head hitting everything.
Jeez.
So he fantasized that each one of them is in the car, and then the more sexualized non-braces one is kissing his cheek. He's like, oh, you like a big nose? And
oh,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
She said that.
She points at his nose
and says French, and he goes, "Oh, you like a big nose?"
Yeah,
and then French.
And then they proceed to stalk them all over the place, and they go on Space Mountain, and
the kid throws up, and that's where the first
when he holds the kid into the trash can to puke them,
charging around the corner.
He's carrying the kid like a sack of laundry.
Honestly, I thought he picked up the kid so that he could follow the girls.
Yeah, that's what I
thought. I feel like that's what was implied. But here comes one of my biggest confusions about the film is that scene is hilarious, right? And that plays out as an amazing slapstick piece.
Yeah.
As many things in the film do.
That film had a lot of stupidly funny parts.
So that scene sets that up, that it feels like slapstick writing with like some art house film noir style filming. And it seems like the styles got completely mixed up between the writing and the filming.
Right. Mm. Yeah.
I can see why it would be tough to write for that kind of a ordeal, though. Like, if they're planning on making it at Disneyland, you know? Like, it might get confused.
I could see that. It's just... raises the question, what was the intention of the film? Like, were they just like, we can get away with doing a film in Disneyland, and then later on they tried to make it have some kind of depth to it? Because I feel like the black and white element of it, we'll get into that.
Yeah.
We'll get into that.
The what now?
The choice to make it black and white, but we'll get into that. Well, let's finish up with what the film is.
Oh, fuck. I must have missed something.
No, let's finish up with that.
No.
Can you tell me what the fuck the film is? Because I don't
know. You know what? I must have had...
I feel like it was black and white.
I must have had a blackout, because I don't remember. I don't know what the twist was.
I feel like the choice to make the film black and white was for ease of effects. To make it easier in post-production. To edit, to make it cheaper. I don't feel like it was a stylistic choice, which... Kind of partially explains the disparity between the visual style of the film and the
why are we raising our hands first off?
So we don't talk over each other.
So we don't scream over each other.
I don't know that I agree because they actually did a lot of work to make sure they had shots correctly. They would look at the weather reports and just do microclimate forecasting.
Movie shit.
No, but they would set up for months in advance because they would only have a 5-minute window where the sun would be in the perfect position over Big Thunder Mountain and whatever.
Plus,
they had to actually wait for the earth to turn so it would be just between, you know, Space Mountain and the fucking...
How grandiose. We waited for the world to turn to make this film. I waited for the world to turn to take a shit yesterday.
It's funny that you say about the visual style versus convenience because when Kevin Smith was filming Clerks... Like, you know, it's in black and white, and like a lot of people.
It
is. And a lot of people are like, oh, what a really good stylistic choice, and it worked really well. And Kevin Smith always said it's not a stylistic choice, it was cheap.
It's practical.
That's why we did it, it was practical.
But having the result be like a cool looking style, I don't think it's a bad thing. I don't think it's like we should, you know, knock anybody.
It's not, but there's a vast disparity between the writing and the visual style of the film. That was my biggest impression of the film, was that the writer and the cinematographer were on completely different pages.
You're probably right.
Yeah.
And you talk about, you know, they had to wait for the seasons to change. They had a fucking year pass. They wanted to make the best of it, you know? And the cinematographer, of course, wants to get the best shots that he possibly can.
That's why they had to ride Small World 12 times.
Fuck that. I respect the film more now because people had to do that.
The kid actors are like, no, we need another shot. We need to go back to Disneyland. We need another shot. They didn't give a fuck.
They're like, post-production, no more Disney for you.
If there's one Disney secret that this movie revealed, it's that you can pretty much do anything you want on the Winnie the Pooh ride.
Yeah, Winnie the Pooh ride was...
Don't bust it for us, man.
They were having... Well, the husband was very much trying to have sex with his wife on the Winnie the Pooh ride.
Well, I don't know that he was trying to have sex.
He was trying to
I don't know. It was like Saddam wiggling his dick.
She was too old for him.
He was trying to pop a feel at some point.
Pedo bear, too old.
Hey, and for the record, if you're going to try and cop a feel, you do it on the Haunted Mansion, okay? Because
it's dark,
it's only two-person cars,
and the girls are fighting, their nipples get hard.
The only problem with that, though, is that they have night vision cameras on those fucking things. So,
it doesn't matter. Anytime I'm trying to get her to be frisky, it's
fine. No, really?
No, I'm saying you may get the ride, you may get yourself kicked out of vision.
Or you may get some security guard jerking his gherkin in the fucking camera room.
You know what? Nobody expects you to get blown on Winnie the Pooh.
That's true.
I'm gonna get in that honeypot. I'll tell you what.
What'd I tell you?
I'll tell you what.
Whatever you want to do, you can do on Winnie the Pooh.
Winnie the Pooh. Film a movie. Fuck.
Oh my god. So we're getting all over the place.
Yeah.
Like, this movie was all over the fucking place.
Yeah, we can't have
and nowhere.
Movie.
Yeah. We can talk about the rest of the movie, or we could just talk about how we feel about it.
Let's just do that, because my biggest gripe about this movie was that it's an hour and a half, it's a feature-length film, and I feel like they did that to take advantage of all the hype surrounding it, because it's more profitable to have a feature-length film. This film was a 30 to 40 minute film max.
I think that's
generous. Max.
I would have said 15-20. Like, it felt like you could have the whole movie felt like the worst parts of a family vacation, and nobody wants to do that.
Honestly, at an hour in, I was like, "We get it. They're a shitty family. Yeah. We get it."
I think it was.
Was it the point? Because since we're not going to go through the whole spiel of the movie,
let's please.
Can we just jump to the end though?
Yeah,
we can jump to the end. Yeah, let's talk about the end.
So the guy gets abducted. Science shit happens.
That makes no sense.
It doesn't matter. Movies make sense.
Let's talk about that just a bit. I feel like that's at least the important part of the movie.
No,
like
it isn't. It's the least important part.
Okay. Wait, are we talking about the Matrix scene?
Yes.
That's the one thing that at least seems to add relevance to the movie that makes it actually seem like there was a point to the whole thing. But I don't know what that point was. Okay,
first of all, there's 2 points where you think there's going to be a turning point. There's when Don Vito runs over the fucking girl in the wheelchair. And you're like, oh, the girl's lost. Oh my god, the movie's finally going to get fucking scary like in the previews. It doesn't happen.
Two minutes later, she's fine.
Right. And then we get to the scientist scene.
Yeah.
So the husband gets super shit-faced drunk at some point.
Oh, which is fucking incredible, man. Because he just starts throwing down Heinekens. No. He drops one at one point. And then fucking and margaritas. And he's just, he's going to town.
He's got these giant beer mugs.
Bad.
And
blood right away, right at the end.
I always... I'm ashamed a little bit to admit when I saw that part, I unfortunately thought of my poor wife, because I know there's been several times where I've been severely drunk, and she's always telling me, you've had enough, stop, give me that.
Why
would you high five for that? And I'm like, I'm not drunk, give me that. I don't tell you what I'm drunk.
Exactly that. I know that feel, bro.
I felt so
bad
for her.
Feel like
at
your
least
wife,
you know we know better.
When you feel like your wife is just like, fuck, dude. Yeah.
She's covering her face because she doesn't want her friends to realize that she married this drunk mess.
Not to sound like a bitch, but my girlfriend's like, take another fucking shot. I'm like, no! I can't, you drink too much whiskey.
So... the dad gets super drunk.
No!
And they come him and the daughter sounds come quick off of some ride, and he sees the French girls, and he starts perving. And one of them walks over to him.
Oh, yeah, this is fucking weird.
One of them walks up. Real quick note. Okay, so Mikey said Don Vito knocked over the little girl on the scooter. they go to a very, very sexy nurse for Disneyland. And they patch up the girl's knee, and they make a comment, how is she doing otherwise? No coughing or anything, because
the cat flu.
I love that. Oh my god, I can't believe I didn't remember that. That was like my favorite
she was
part
so
of the
concerned
movie.
A lot
she,
of our
she
guests
cried after they left the room. She died from cat flu.
They're saying a lot of our guests are concerned about the cat flu.
Maybe.
So back to the future where he's creeping over these girls. The girl with the braces walks towards them, and he has some fantasy flashback.
Oh, he just went nuts.
Where the giant Epcot ball collapses and explodes, and he realizes it's his imagination. But then the girl walks over and and the girl says, come join us. He says, I can't. And she says, well, you should. And he says, I can't because bad things will happen.
And when he says bad things...
No, he says, I can't.
He says...
Bad things. She says, think bad things are going to happen anyway.
If you don't.
Oh, yeah, that's right. If you don't,
And then he says, I can't. She says, you refuse. And then she says, I'm sorry. He says, for what? And she spits in his face.
Which was the best shot.
And it's funny because, like, the piece of liquid, like, hit his cheek and it, like, deforms his cheek.
She got the fucking uber spit, though. Like, that shit was, like, it looked like somebody hit him with the fucking super soaker.
So
you could see the indentations on his face.
Then it leads me to believe that he's had a run-in with young girls before. Because why would he say, oh, bad things were happening?
Because he was going to fuck that 14-year-old.
Because he knows, he's going to do something that's illegal in the U.S. And just have sex with a 14-year-old French girl.
He's been hanging out with Carlos too much, and he's a fan of babies.
Oh, is it less weird that in France that wouldn't be weird?
It is a little, actually. It is a little less weird. They've had, like, 2 years, right? Actually, in a lot of places in the U.S., 16 is... legal. In Mexico, you're allowed to marry.
Are we getting into like teenage fucking rights?
No, we're not.
No, you're not.
In a lot of
incest
is legal in 30
out of 50 U.S. states allow.
Let the record show it's the women
like
talking about underage
cousin.
Sex.
Your first cousin.
The Who Goes There podcast did not endorse either cousin fucking or pedophilia. We are just merely stating facts that.
But brother fucking on the Jug Face DVD now available on Amazon.com. Also go to kickfighter.com.
Please don't do that. That's a bad idea.
No,
Please don't do that.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I really. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Cake farts.
Sorry. Don't do that. Don't go there.
Okay, so she spits in his face, and the daughter is suddenly gone. The little girl has vanished, and he looks all around, and he sees Fat Don Vito in the wheelchair watching the fireworks.
You have to say Fat Don Vito?
You know, I really don't. This I really delicious. Don't.
It's so
but
good.
You see, you see the two French girls and these two random guys that they met.
No, I feel like those are their boyfriends, and they were just avoiding them the whole time because they had them at the
clearly
pool.
They've been there for a while. Yeah, they probably just separated and met
the guys who were at the pool with
guys.
Okay, we're not talking about.
Look,
that.
here's why I initially said that those girls symbolize innocence and what not. What happens is when you see the girls with their boyfriends or whomever they are,
right.
That's when the guy's like, oh, well, fuck it then, you know, like.
See, because he
gets pissed off when he finds out that they have
boyfriends. He cried.
He cried in the pool.
Yeah.
I
don't know how his wife, like, he takes his head out of the water and she's like, are you crying?
It's because
like,
he had terrible cry face.
It's like, bitch, my entire face is wet.
Yeah,
it's
right?
The chlorine.
I've got
I
chlorine
swear.
Face.
But I really assumed that those chicks were just sluts because there had been no mention of those guys before, and they randomly
no mention
words.
Yeah.
They were
slutty.
Well,
no mention
of
sluts.
You never even saw those guys
sluts.
Before, and then they get out of the pool and they just
you
grab the guys by the
they
hand.
They were probably sleeping in, and the girls were like, "Fuck you, we're going to the new world."
So Matt's like the guy in the movie. They're like, we got all this ambiguous stuff. Matt's like, "Oh no, they're totally dyking out behind." I saw a Mac and Box behind Space Mountain.
Well, okay. Changing
that's
gears.
That's perfect.
So
change it, Matt. Change
the daughter's
change
the daughter's missing, and then Disney security comes in and stun guns the dad in the dick.
In the dick. In the dick.
Not only that, but you actually see an X-ray
of his pelvis.
Pelvis.
Like, it's not though. He looks like reason. He's humming when he gets shot.
Yeah.
In
have you ever got a stun gun in the crotch?
Oh,
no, baby. I have not. And I hope to God I don't ever.
We
have sold weirder things.
We went to Ellis Mania in Vegas, and we saw Jason Ellis use a dog shock collar on a woman's vagina.
Ah!
It was awesome.
Okay.
Hey, okay.
Let's
so
talk about that.
Anyways, God damn this episode.
Need to.
God damn this episode.
They stun this movie.
They stun gun his dick, and then he wakes up in what looks like a sterile lab.
That's poetry, by
tied to a board.
Inside
it's not
of the
a board,
Epcot.
It's like a dentist seat.
What
like,
is that thing called?
Planet
chair,
Earth
yeah.
ride
Epcot.
Or something?
No,
but
he's
the Epcot.
Epcot.
So he's inside the big Epcot fucking triangle
golf
sphere
ball.
Fucking
yeah,
golf
the big
ball
golf
thing.
Ball, yeah.
He's inside of it now.
And there's a scientist.
Siemens, apparently.
Yeah, run by Siemens Corporation. And
yeah, why poke fun at Siemens all of a sudden?
Because they're your sponsors.
Like, why all of a sudden be like, well, fuck Siemens?
They can edit. They have to edit Disney. They have to edit the name Disney, but they can say Siemens and proudly display the Siemens logo.
But he didn't even pronounce it Siemens. Didn't he say like Siemens or something?
No,
like,
he said Siemens.
No, he didn't.
So he's in this matrixy lab, and the scientist is talking to him about some weird shit. Your dad must have brought you here when you were a kid.
Oh, you came here when we almost opened.
Oh, he's the German.
That's like half, like quarter German accent, just to make it authentic, because all scientists are
ex-Nazis. Is that a nod? At
it was a Nazi
being a Nazi.
All the best
yes, it
scientists
was.
Are
okay. A very subtle nod, but a nod nonetheless.
And I just don't really get what the fuck happened because.
Damn it.
Okay.
Were you hoping for an explanation, too?
No, you got Nazis.
Okay.
It always comes down to Nazis.
See, this is jumping all over.
When it comes
over.
To Disney.
But Nazis never consider themselves.
Before he, the girl spit in his face, the ride they came off of was the Soarin' ride.
And yeah.
It was Soarin' over California.
Oh, which I can't believe you didn't bring up.
The dad.
Oh,
or no, wait, the butt.
I thought of you immediately when I saw boobs.
Thank you.
Because of your tits, not your love for them.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, so,
fuck.
When he's talking to his boss at the very beginning of the movie, the boss mentions something about his son or his daughter raving about Soarin', and you have to go on Soarin', it's unreal. Yeah. And the
Are you
ride.
Soarin' or Soarin'?
Soarin'. No, Soarin'.
It sounded like they said Soarin', like
Soarin'
over California.
But that's.
A R I N.
There's an
apostrophe.
There's no G?
There's no G.
No.
Oh, wow.
So,
bro, this is the 90s. Where you been?
Bazam!
We're blazing in here.
Blazing with an apostrophe.
So that's
like 10 years behind.
That's
no, baby.
The ride.
20.
Who wants to go soaring?
People, focus.
Oh, that's what this is about. Yeah.
So that's the ride that they came off of.
But Plus 99 is the last 90. Okay.
The important thing about that ride is while he was on the ride, he started having these weird images of a half-naked woman that looked like Maya Rudolph.
Or Pocahontas.
Maybe.
Or Selena Gomez.
No, I thought Rudolph.
Who's the hell now?
Is it Selena Gomez at 15?
No, what I thought was Selena Gomez because she was like,
just like
she was like
Zac Efron. Oh my god, he's like 23 years old.
That's why I thought Selena Gomez because she was part of like the whole Disney cult, you know,
like
young
maybe
star,
it was
whatever.
Meant to represent her.
That's what I thought. That's right. Not that I would know about Selena Gomez at all.
Of
but
course
well,
not.
I saw a sexy Latin woman. That's what I saw.
So he has all these weird fantasies or visions of this girl talking about, where are you? I've been waiting for you. And then
butt ass naked on screen.
Right. And then he goes into the Epcot testicle.
Which he said it looks like a testicle when they're standing outside.
Which is odd, right? Because it doesn't. A testicle is egg-shaped.
Was it? Yeah, I was like, slapstick comedy writing.
It's
in a film that doesn't
it's
feel like a
ovoid,
comedy.
Not round.
I told Alia,
it's smooth like
this. I said, whose testicle is spiky like a durian?
I'm raising my hand for everybody.
And it's stinky.
Oh, gross.
Durians are smelly.
So, yeah, the side...
So we're bald!
Oh, you learned something new about Matt today.
Not if you keep your shit clean.
Scrub a little harder.
But so, the whole science thing really makes no sense, and then he pulls out the Neosporin that he had gotten.
No.
Geosporin.
Geosporin.
And that's
no, Geosporink, wasn't it? It was like, they had to change the title.
And dude, yeah, the Geosporin scene. How did I forget?
At some point, he fucks up his toe and he's bleeding, and he has to get Geosporing for it. And
slides. Well, like he picks up a book on how to learn French, like he's gonna learn it in 5 minutes.
No, it's not how to learn French. It's French to get by. Yeah.
So, as he's taped to this board in the Epcot ball,
I think once we talk about this scene, I think we're done.
He pulls
up this movie.
I've had enough.
He pulls the Geosporink out of his pocket.
A product placement shot and then black out.
It's all
fucking Neosporin.
And
semen.
Like,
kidney and
okay.
Geosporin.
So I'm guessing the average Neosporin container has like an ounce of medicated gel. This thing shot like six cups of fucking.
Imagine the portraits of naked bitches all around this fucking room.
Which make no sense to be in that room at all.
Aubrey, how do we know they're bitches?
Because they're half naked.
They're half naked and they're like 20 feet tall pictures.
Every woman, even the most gentle heart,
is a bitch.
I'm a bitch. Has the
okay. Yeah, so
they're all
like
let the record show the women said
99%. Okay, because my aunt was a saint, and she was like, she was scary when she was mad, but she only got mad for a reason.
We can sort of end our review of the movie on this part because it's ridiculous. Like he squeezes this bottle or this tube of Geosporin and just gets it all over the control panels, like naked asses.
It's like
naked
a compilation of Peter North fucking cum scenes. Like it's shooting everywhere, blasting all over everything.
And initially,
it's a compilation
I had
of one
assumed
compilation. Peter North.
Compilation
of one Peter North.
I had assumed he was just trying to spray it on his other hand.
That's what I thought!
So you could slide your hand out, but
wait,
no,
which was it?
He was trying to squeeze the tube to shoot it across the room onto the control panel that controlled his wrist cups and short circuit the circuitry so it let go of his wrist.
Once again, in a slapstick film, it would work.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Look, I don't want to talk about this fucking movie anymore.
Can we get to the last
Aubrey, take the wheel!
So he gets out, he finds his kid, they go back to the hotel, he puts his... Oh wait, no! Oh my god, I forgot.
Yeah, no, see,
fucking witch scene! Okay, yeah.
Anyway,
they go back to the hotel, he puts his daughter to sleep, looks at his family, and he's all sweaty because he's like...
Oh yeah, we have a shit scene.
He dies from the flu! But not before he shit out his whole life!
life on his toilet and then turns around first, and coughs up cat hair.
He has the gas
hairballs.
Two hairballs.
Which is what kind of gives you the idea that like he has cat flu.
Yeah, because he coherently people.
And then he gets a cat eye and then he does like a Cheshire cat smile.
Yeah, because it's the cat flu. That's what it is. But I figured it out. That was hilarious.
I can do nothing but face palm right now.
So then Disney people come in.
Look,
it really should have been.
Oh wait, no,
that was awesome.
Okay, order. The dad dies of fucking cat.
And then the boy shits his guts out. He does because his body goes away.
Silencio.
This is the first time we've ever had to quiet anybody on this podcast. Oh my goodness.
It's because this movie is so absurd, everybody wants to voice their disdain. So he shits his guts out. He pukes out two hairballs. He's sitting next to the toilet looking like anybody who's just puked a bunch does. His fuckhead son comes in and just stares at him with those cold, dead eyes. And he says, I'm sick, I'm dying.
I need help.
He's got like a little bit of blood around their vomit around his
dome. The kid closes the bathroom door and goes and spoons the mom again.
Basically, yeah.
The mom finds the dad dead in the bathroom with cat eyes and a Cheshire cat grin.
Single.
Cat eye.
Or just one.
Yeah.
Oh.
Do you not know the symptoms of cat flu, Matt?
And then the Disney
cleanup crew.
Secret crew come in.
With Richard Ramirez leading them for some reason. Fucking nutsucker.
He looked like the goddamn Zodiac killer.
He's the ice truck killer from
Was it really?
I thought it might be.
Yeah.
I actually
what, was it him?
I don't think it was, but it looked a lot like him.
Yes. That's what I thought, too.
Alia thought it was him.
Yeah, I thought it was him.
It looked like Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker.
Okay, so they go in, and there was this really awkward situation.
I don't care, but I mean, come on.
Richard Ramirez walks over to the son and reaches out to touch him, and the son flinches, and some other guy behind him grabs him like they're going
to
attack him. And he tussles his hair. And then they just go and completely clean the
room
spotless.
And doesn't
he implants a memory of
Buzz Lightyear. That's
what
happens.
Yeah,
that's what he does.
Yeah. Ride, so he's like, so here, I'll give you the ride with your dad. Yeah.
And then he gives him the Buzz Lightyear pin. And then they clean everything up.
Spotless. And then they do the shot of everyone entering the
thing. I don't even know. What are we doing?
We're getting to the last 2 seconds because
which was really important because, you know, like, to make this film an hour and a half, you have to show a fucking 2-minute scene of them cleaning the fucking bathroom when nobody cares!
Yeah.
I did.
Freaked me out the most.
Okay.
Because I'm cleaning the bathroom?
Holy shit, dude. Like, what kind of shit has gone on in every place I've ever been in?
Yeah.
Like, every hotel I've ever been in. Somebody could have freaking died here.
One out of four hotel rooms have had people die from cat flu in them. Check your facts, people.
Cat flu specifically.
I did like the feeling of with Walt Disney being a Nazi and all, and then the German scientist, and then the Disney cleanup
with
crew.
With Walt Disney being a Nazi, check your Wikipedia facts, people. Let's
check out the wiki, you bitches.
Yeah, do some research before you start quoting this podcast as fact.
And then the cleanup crew coming and making the body have never happened. I really like thinking that Disney is some weird secret society cult that's there for
but
the end
don't
of the
you
world.
Actually,
and
then, yeah, I would actually think that. I mean, that's
other
now. That's
they take this film to
I kind of believe that.
Okay, and before we get too off the rails, the dad's dead. They take him out on a stretcher, and as they load him into a van that's driving off, the dad then appears with the Maya Rudolph girl from the Soren fantasy and another young daughter. And
which
all the people,
it makes no fucking sense.
And
no
all the
sense.
People who
no,
work at the
no
hotel
sense.
Seem to understand what happened. The guy even kind of looks and chuckles like
he's like, oh,
let
me get your stuff for you.
And the scientist kind of like hints at that this is not really you. Almost like that was
that's
like a dream
the,
or something.
Yeah.
It's,
that's right, the imagination
it's a,
of
look,
yourself
it's
that you can
it's supposed to be imagine. Some bullshit Hotel California parallel thing where he never gets to leave Disneyland because he was there as a child, probably died there. What the fuck ever.
It doesn't take a scientist
to realize
it doesn't make any fucking sense.
I kind of like that explanation. explanation better than anything else. But, like, but, I was so, a kid, and adults kind of, was like growing up kinda, and sort of like attaching kind of feel like that's every family.
I kind of feel like that's what they were going
family that walks into
I like
that
a lot better.
That's yeah, what like, I kind of feel like they were going
like,
for.
He picks a family that walks in every day, and he relives his life like through the family.
That's sort of how I felt it was supposed to.
If they establish that strongly enough, might be cool, but they don't.
Yeah, they don't. There's
the fatal flaw.
Hour like and a half.
The fatal flaw was the hour and a half.
The fatal flaw with your Hotel California theory is that it was supposed to take place in Florida.
Hotel Florida.
Okay, well,
so opinions about this film.
My final opinions? Big fat turd. That's my final
opinion. That's what you got.
Big fat turd.
You wasted great fucking hype on a shitty fucking movie.
You know, and I feel
it's bad, and you should feel bad.
Okay, did I tell you I had to pay to watch this fucking movie?
Oh, why'd you do that?
Because I was in my bed and I didn't want to get out to get my computer.
Aubrey.
No, you had to pay money to not get out of bed. That's what happened.
Aubrey.
It wasn't on fucking Netflix, so I had to go on Amazon.
It's a bed tax.
Rented it.
Aubrey,
for $3.99.
We pay to watch all of these
movies. Oh, yes.
Wait, why are you guys laughing?
Yeah. No, that's true.
So I'm especially upset.
Please support your local artists.
Who Goes There podcast is not endorsed piracy in any fashion.
No,
please.
I'm just saying it wasn't on Netflix, so I legitimately had to rent it.
Hey, I'm wearing
like
a pirate shirt.
I am a pirate.
I mean,
all right.
Look.
Can we all agree this movie sucked ass?
But,
yes!
But I want to talk more about how much it sucked. No. I've made it this far. No. I've earned it.
Look, here's...
It was pretty, but it's...
Here's my final thoughts on this thing. I think had they pared it down, and I gotta say, the dad's acting, terrible.
Atrocious.
The dad's terrible. Chest hair, terrible.
Kind of sexy. Kind of sexy.
Mom's acting, passable.
She portrayed a good bitch.
Kids, the girl was pretty decent.
Oh, no,
kid,
sure.
The boy, out. Right the fuck out.
He needed to be
dropped. Well, no, because...
He did.
I feel like... He portrayed the little asshole he was supposed to be.
Too well.
The problem with this film is that it has a high concept feel to it, but it comes across lowbrow.
Yeah.
And that's the worst problem with it, is because you go into it like, oh, this is a heady movie and we're psychologically interested.
Yeah.
And then it gets to halfway through and you're like, I fucking hate it. I hate it. I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate it. I hate
it. For me, it was more confusion than hate. But
yeah, I remember like pausing it and it was like, oh, you're 39 minutes in. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
Well, that's how Mikey felt
in.
About
the House of the
House
Devil
of
was
like,
shitting
but,
me.
But at least House of the Devil had some really well formed scenes.
All right, my opinion.
At least
first
I could
off,
expect more because it seemed darker, you know?
Yeah. I was more entertained by this than House of the Devil.
Get out. Get out.
I'm not saying it was better.
No,
get the fuck out.
No, it wasn't
get out.
Better, but it had more mystery, I think. A little bit more mystery.
More mystery in that, why did they make it?
Because they could.
My opinion,
but you
there
know
was
what?
No...
I'm a little, I think it sort of sets like a...
Okay. Are you verklempt?
Good talk, Ollie. You want to talk so bad.
And we all know Ollie can talk.
If you've listened to any episodes, you know that Ollie can talk. But that's cool, because, hey, she feels
isn't
she
that
feels
what
minutes.
We're doing, though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey.
Opinion. So, yes, boss. So, it's...
Yes, massive.
Once again, just like you said, high concept, fucking poor execution.
Poor execution.
Like, it sells itself as a movie that's more cerebral. You expect it to, like, be, I don't know, something. It ended up being nothing. It ended up being a family on a shitty vacation with, like, mild little,
with
like, hallucinogenic stuff happening.
Yeah.
None of it ended up making any sense. It could have been... If you were trying to... If they didn't spend so much time trying to fill in the blanks and fill up space... It could have been a really powerful 20 to 30 minute film.
Yep.
It had amazing visuals. It looked fucking brilliant, and they did an amazing job with, you know, what the film was supposed to be. It guerrilla style inside of Disneyland, taking advantage of that shit. But the slapstick writing mixed with the art house filming
and
did
the
not
shitty
make any
and
sense
the shitty
together.
Green screen.
The shitty green screen, the poor performance by the leading actor. There was so much potential here that was completely fucking wasted, and they should feel bad about that. There was so much more they could have done. They wasted people's time and effort on this film because it had something, and they never bothered to capture it.
That's the problem. And it had such great potential to be something. And I honestly, when I was suggesting it to you guys, I was like, oh, how could it be bad?
And
like,
I wanted
you know,
to see
it
really bad.
It looked really good.
I was excited.
You know, they had with the shitty Dan Marino clone. just
the hairier Dan Marino.
The hairier, shitty.
They should have just got Ken Marino.
Ken Marino, that's what I meant to say.
I love you, Ken Marino.
Dan Marino would have been funny too.
Dan Marino.
Well, it is Florida.
It is Florida. Could have been Dan Marino.
Laces out, Dan.
Laces out, Dan. yeah, I think universally. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, it kind of gives me hope for, like, movies in the future, like, being filmed in, like, sort of, kind of, like, a, what do you say, like, they're sort of, like, pioneering, you know, like, in different ways of actually making movies than just, like, in the studio.
Well, now every year we're going to have, like, Guerrilla Film Paranormal Activity 5.
No!
But fuck shit! Why?
It might work better for a comedy, though.
As a conceptual piece. Yeah. Fantastic. Actually, but as a feature-length film,
there already have been, like, movies like that, like Borat.
I honestly, thought it was gonna end up being a Cabin in the Woods kind of thing, where they were gonna make fun of scary movies.
Where Mikey makes the point that the, like, the director and the writer and the film, you know, people that were doing the filming have very different concepts. You know, somebody was like, oh, we're totally gonna fucking take the piss on this movie. And it's gonna be really funny and scary at the same time, but it was neither. It was hilariously bad.
The points did not ever connect at any point in the film.
If you're gonna watch it, probably watch it with at least somebody else, one other body.
Yeah.
Right. You know?
So you can mock it
together. And it's a lot more amusing that way, definitely.
I wouldn't call it a waste of time. It's an interesting, but poorly executed film.
Yeah.
And maybe have something in your system.
Which makes it better than House of the Devil. Fuck you guys.
I enjoyed it while I was watching it, and it's because I got to bounce off Matt. The confusion I had, like the questions and stuff like that. We got to sort of like, oh, let's try and figure this out, you know?
Yeah.
Can I get mine?
Can I
get a what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
Yeah.
I really wanted to believe the hype of this movie. I really did. And I think it was a beautiful film with a lot of potential. And I think that the story writing was just absolute shit.
Mm-hmm.
I liked a lot of the slapstick writing. There's some stuff we didn't get into.
Trash can head kid.
There's a scene where the woman, there's a woman who says, oh yeah, feel my vagina. I was busting up laughing. And then she said, I think you found my hidden Mickey.
Oh, that was...
And for anybody that knows or doesn't know, at Disneyland...
I didn't catch that.
There's a bunch of hidden Mickey symbols. You know, the three circles that you could make with pancakes?
Yeah.
They're everywhere. And as he's drilling it to this lady, she says, I think you found my hidden Mickey. And that was really fucking hilarious to me. And I really think the only redeeming quality of this movie was that there was tits in it. And that was...
Seconds.
You know, but it was okay because they realized that this movie was complete and utter fucking nonsense, and they said, you know what, let's at least give you a positive note to go home on. And then he gave you the Geospore ink all over the butt cheeks, and
everybody around the room looks disappointed.
It definitely felt a little Freudian, and
alright.
It was a little Freudian.
I do appreciate the boobs.
Yeah, I guess. So. Too much. Alright, let's wrap it up.
Check us out on whogoestherepodcast.com, facebook.com/whogoestherepodcast. Follow us on Twitter @whogoestherepod. And we have an Instagram that seems to be more active than anything else
because
we do.
Because Instagram rules.
Bitches love Instagram!
So @whogoestherepodcast.
Yeah, @whogoestherepodcast on Instagram.
What am I looking at here?
As always,
and they love you.
Look us up on... Look us up on iTunes by searching Who Goes Their Podcast. Give us a nice rating and a 5-star review, and it really helps us get us to the front page and get our podcast out there. And we'll read your review on the
question.
Sure.
Who goes there?
It'd be Matt fucking I hate Who Goes There tagline Smith. Because it's so fucking big in Portland.
And in case you're listening to us at night, good night.
Yeah.
We love
Fuck
you.
Off.
Now who goes there to you?
No!
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be alright, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.